They say everyone has a book inside them, and often that's where it should stay. I really can't help but be aghast that the author wants you to pay. But we're just a pair of absolute bookends, you don't want to be like us. So if you want to read, pick some quality literature, rather than this dross.
Hello, welcome to Two Absolute Bookends, where we read books so bad you should burn them before reading. This is episode 10. Butter over too much bread. And sitting with me on the military side of the shelf is Louis.
Hello.
And this week, we're reading Chapter 10 of The Way the Stars Fall Rebirth by Lewis Stockton. Please support the author, who now has a wish list on his website you can buy him things from.
Brilliant.
So, what happened in Chapter 10? We're introduced to two new characters, Tiberius Hunter and his ex-wife Amelia Hunter, and they've been invited to dine with the Imperator of the Ilmarum Imperium, and over dinner he gets given the task to hunt down the Tranquility and kill all of its crew members. Somewhat daunted by this task, Tiberius is wondering quite how to go about actually finding the ship, but it turns out that Amelia has the coordinates, and with that he gets given control of a large part of the Ilmarian fleet, and they head off into space to look for our, let's say, heroes. And that's where the chapter ends. So, Louis, what did you think of the curveball this chapter threw us?
Yes, it sort of drops you in it straight away. Like, we spent so long with Jack and Hollister, and then suddenly, bang, we're completely new characters. Quite a nice change. Short chapter again. Yeah. Very confusing chapter, though. Not least because of a few, like, crucial mistakes, like printing errors.
Yeah. So, I guess let's start with the big thing, the new character, Tiberius Hunter. What do you think about him?
Yeah, he's apparently the only... What is he? He's the only battlecruiser captain in the sector, despite the... I don't know. I'm a bit confused about the sort of scale here. Like, what exactly is a sector? Because if he's the only battlecruiser captain in a sector, and yet the Ilmarian Defence Fleet is described as having, like, millions of ships, and... I don't know. It seems odd that he's the only battlecruiser captain.
Yeah, the infrastructure of the thing's pretty unclear. Like, I'd assume by the fact that there's only one that means that that's, like, the most impressive ship assigned to that sector, however big it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, doesn't really say what, like, the... Because, like, you know, the Tranquility iced three cruisers, like, it wasn't even shit in the last chapter. So I'm guessing they have a lot more ships of that kind of quality around, but... Mm-hmm. But the one that Tiberius is in control of is kind of special, which raises some other questions about the organisation, but I know, I think I'll bring them up as we go through to them.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really find out much about him, other than he's a captain of the battlecruiser, and that's pretty much it, right? I mean, he has an ex-wife, who is his second officer.
Which... I don't know why anyone would let that happen in their army.
Their relationship is very strange. To start with, her name is Amelia Hunter. Why does she keep his... Either they happen to have the same surname, or she just chose to keep the surname after getting divorced. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. I mean, I also take it that... It hasn't escaped your notice that they both share a surname with our main character, Jack Hunter.
Let me have a guess that they're in some way related, and that's going to be revealed.
Yeah, technically, I'd say.
If your answer was no, I would be questioning why could he just not think of other surnames.
Yeah, but no, the fact his surname's Hunter is quite significant. I mean, related's technically true, but doesn't quite get to the core of their relationship.
I bet it's some sort of, like, weird dimensional thing.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, we've got Captain Jack Hunter on the Tranquility and Captain Tiberius Hunter on the Turmoil. You know, there's a bit of, I think, intentional duality going on there.
So much so that the author gets confused and when in the first paragraph, when like talking about Tiberius and Amelia, he suddenly calls Tiberius Jack.
Yeah, mate. Easy mistake to make.
But a very, like, costly
very crucial one. Yeah. A very crucially confusing mistake.
It really threw me off. I thought that this was a flashback or something, and they were Jack's parents, and he was at, like, some sort of school interview or something. That's the image I had. Because also, he down here it says that Amelia... licks her finger and thumb and rubs a mark off Tiberius's cheek, like almost like a mother would do to their, you know, son. I was so confused. I thought, what's going on? Is Tiberius their son? Like, that's what I thought. Yeah, I thought that Tiberius was their son, and they were like, I don't know. This was going to be some sort of backstory, but no.
No, just a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean. I don't want to... I mean, I say that. I think what I'm going to say is going to basically spoil things. But, you know, just... You know, we just moved away from an evil version of Elijah. And now we're meeting a guy with a surname Hunter. So, let's just mull over where this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not really a surprise when you think about it, but, yeah.
So who's the mirror image of Amelia, then? I mean, I don't know if you want to spoil it too much.
I mean, I'll admit that my memory might just be failing me, but as far as I can tell Fargus and Jack and Tiberius are the only, like, alternate universe mirror doubles that I can recall. Just those two.
There's no mirror Hollister. There can only be one. He's the same in the every other universe.
Hollister is just a constant. He's what keeps all the universes, like, pinned together and working.
Yeah.
But no, I was actually thinking about that a bit earlier. Just like, you know, they could have done something interesting with an alternate Hollister. Like, I know, like, imagine, mild spoiler just by saying that this isn't the case, but, you know, he could have been, like, the head of the insurrectionists or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have been sort of like a dark terrorist Hollister, like, tearing apart the Imperium from underneath. But it's like, no, we don't see any alternate Hollister, no alternate Toner.
That is surprising, actually.
Yeah, I kind of would have thought they would have, if they were going to start introducing sort of, like, alternate universe doppelgangers, they kind of would have committed to it and played with it a bit more, but I guess not.
Going back to Amelia and Tiberius's relationship, it's very, very odd. I mean, she's obviously his ex-wife, and also his second officer, but apparently no matter how many times he had tried to get her killed, she always came back with a smile on her face and another trophy to add to her collection. Why is he so, like, vicious? Like, why is he so aggressive towards her? Like, trying to get her killed? And then also, why does she come back with a smile on her face and a trophy? What trophy?
Like, I don't know, some insurrectionist ears on, like, a necklace or something?
Oh, I thought it was, like, most times survived being killed.
I was, like, imagining sort of, like, grim battle trophies, like the heads of aliens and shit like that.
So he's trying to get her killed by, like, going to...
Yeah, like, by sending her off on, like, super dangerous missions and stuff
but she's
like that.
Just, like...
She's just too damn good.
Yeah.
And if she's that good, I don't know why he's so willing to kill her.
I don't know. She must have got a lot in the divorce settlement. Even the name.
Yeah. I kind of don't know how they ended up getting into that position. Like, were they married and then he took her on as his second in command? Because, again, that's wicked mad nepotism. I don't know how that had worked.
It's a recurring theme.
Yeah, just a complete disregard for sort of like the
concerns.
And look
how it turned out. Well, it turned out pretty well, actually. He got a really good officer, but for some reason he wants to kill her.
Yeah. So, you know, partial victory. But, yeah, just the alternate that she was his second in command, then he started going out with her and married her. And again, that, because of all the reasons that I went off into on over on Tona last episode, that's a fucking bad idea. You know, she definitely shouldn't be working on his ship if she still wants to work inside sort of like the fleet.
Also, their relationship is just so weird. Like, their ex, you know, they're divorced, and yet, like, she's calling him dear, and later on, you know, they're quite affectionate towards one another. It's almost like he forgot that they were divorced.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. Like, I know that might be why, like, Tiberius hates her, because she keeps just basically fucking with him by acting over, by sort of, like, acting way sort of, like, attached to him, but then just also kind of trolling him as well. She seems to enjoy having power over him and making him his life difficult, but at the same time likes being invaluable to him. So I can kind of get why he hates her, but she does also seem to get the job done. It's very weird. Like, she should definitely have been assigned to a different ship before they ever got married, but especially after they got divorced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're on their way to the Imperialist Basilica.
That basically, a basilica's like a grand church, really. Mm-hmm. So that's like the Emperor's grand church, which is where he lives, I guess.
Yeah, they will have like a dinner hall and and it's, yeah, I like the description of the great golden arches.
Yeah, just real shades of Mackey D's there. Just maybe that's what's happened. Maybe that's just something we missed in the descriptions, but like the Imperator's actually wearing a big red wig, has got white face, massive shoes.
Yeah.
It's like, this is actually the spread of the Ulmarum Imperium was actually sort of like funded by the McDonald's Corporation. You know, he's the Grand Donald of the Ulmarum Imperium. No, like the Grand Ronald of the Ulmarum Imperium. That's my fanfic anyway.
Yeah, when they're on their way to meet the Imperator, they're questioning, like, you know, why would he invite this lowly captain? I like how they start talking about, or maybe they want to assign you onto this, like, you know, basically Jack Hunter and his battleship. Mm-hmm. I love how just amazed everyone in this chapter is about a battleship.
Yeah, I've never seen a battleship before.
Yeah, it's like every time they're describing this, you know, these events, they're like, and he was in a battleship, and everyone's like, what?
Say what? Yeah, like, how, like, what do they call their battleships? I mean, what do they call Tiberius's one again?
Well, isn't he in a cruiser? I think he's a battle cruiser.
Yeah, a battle cruiser. Okay, so, like, why do they even have a distinct word for battleship if apparently they don't exist in this universe? How do they even know, like, the distinction between a battleship? It's like, you know, they've got battle frigates, you know, they've got battle brigs, battle cruisers, but the ships, no battleships. Yeah, that's an odd one. A little thing that I found weird, just like in his sort of like slightly feverish unease while waiting to arrive, like it says, Tiberius Hunter took a sigh as he rubbed his sleeve against his shinning boot leather. Shinning leather boot one more time.
I didn't notice it was shinning.
Yeah, but I'm just, so what is he? He was just standing there. He just bent down and started just like rubbing at his shoe with his coat. So now he's got a slightly shinier shoe and a dirty sleeve.
Yeah.
You know that at dinner, Tiberius, the Imperator's going to be able to see your sleeve, but not so much your shoes.
Yeah, it's just another It's just another one of those really weird sort of descriptions that just don't quite fit. Like, yeah. Nobody does that, ever.
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, getting a cloth
out. Doesn't fit the moment or reality in general.
I'd understand a bit getting like, a napkin out or something, or a cloth and, you know, buffing your shoes a bit. But, like, his sleeve? What? Shinning.
Yeah, such shin. Shin harder. I mean, maybe we're misreading it. Maybe that's like an alien species. It's my shinning leather. None of that cow leather. That's only good for chairs. But boots, the shin leather.
So when they arrive at the Imperialist Basilica, there's just such... I'm just going to read this out because it's great. Inside the Imperialist Basilica, it was a constant temperature, constantly at the whim of the Imperator. No one dare state that he had the temperature too high or too low for fear of their head adoring his wall. First of all, yeah, adoring, yeah.
Fucking amazing typo. I love that.
Is it their head adoring his wall? Wow.
What a wall. They just have to stand there in the room with him just looking at his wall all day. It's like, this wall, it's so nice. That's their punishment.
Yeah, for complaining about the temperature. What kind of a weird example of that is... What kind of a weird example is that of, like, his power over everyone? He controls the temperature.
Like, but what another thing is, I don't quite get what it's saying. So this is sort of like trying to get to the point of how he's a dictator. They're at the whim of the emperor's will, mm-hmm. of the imperator's will, just like what he says goes. So it says, it's at a constant temperature, constantly at the whim of the imperator, which means it changes to whatever the imperator thinks the right temperature. So unless they're saying that the imperator's whim is to always have it at that temperature, then it's not constant, is it? Surely that means the imperator goes, it's too hot, and they're all like freezing their balls off, and they're just like, oh, okay, imperator. It's just, again, like, it could be right. I mean, maybe it's his whim to have it at this weird temperature all the time, but again, it's a weird way of, you know, the whim sort of like way of saying it sort of like conjures up the fact that he's, you know, it's arbitrary, you know, it's down to his moment. He'll decide what the temperature will be, basically. Mm-hmm. But it's saying it's constant. It's another case of possibly not technically wrong if you twist it around enough, but at the very least, very strangely phrased for an example.
Yep.
But you don't want to be adoring that wall.
So when they're walking through the hallways, him and Tiberius and Amelia, they get frisked by some guards, and I like how apparently they took their time on Amelia to the amusement of Tiberius. Just like casual, like, I don't know what the obsession is in this book of, like, treating women like garbage. And it being funny and, like, okay.
Well, at least we're not meant to like Tiberius. You know, at least they're trying to paint him as at least somewhat of a villain at the moment. Mm-hmm. So at least here it makes sense that, you know, this is the evil empire, and, you know, they're basically copping a feel while frisking this female officer, and because Tiberius hates her and he's a dick, he enjoys it. He enjoys watching her suffer. So, you know, at least that's kind of like a consistent message, even if it is part of the, I think, less intentional effect of the author seeming to find this just funny in general.
Also
objectifying women and being mean to them.
Not consistent in that, why does he... It comes back to that question of why does he spend so much time with her? Why is he bringing her to this, like, important dinner if he hates her so much?
Yeah, just like, you know, if it's, like, so... Like, what? Yeah, why is she even invited?
Maybe,
like,
it's another plan.
He's shocked that someone of his that of his status as being asked to dine with the Imperator. And he apparently got a plus one, I guess.
Yeah.
And he took her because he doesn't have a Hollister.
No. Maybe that's it. Maybe she's this dimension's Hollister.
Maybe you're right. But she's always she's always herself, and that's the problem.
Yeah. Good callback.
Yeah, like, one thing I a little odd is when in their journey he's talking to Amelia, basically about the Tranquility wrecking shit at Station 58. He's basically, he sounds like he's only just found out about it all. Like, everything, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But then it later goes on to point out the fact that he's like the one guy with a battle cruiser in that sector. He's like in charge of, to some degree, of that whole sector's like defence. How is it only just gotten to him that this stuff's happened? Like, you know, it's managed, you know, his ex-wife apparently is knows before him just from listening to the waves and has only just told him. You know, it's managed to sort of like get back to the Imperator for long enough for him to plan to call in Tiberius Hunter to have a casual dinner over him about it. So it's just like, how is he in such an important position but yet so out of the loop of communications?
Yeah, they're obviously not very good, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
you saw how the Space Combat Observatory Station 58, whatever, handled, like, three people.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, pretty much everything wrong with the Imperium can just be handled with that. They are, like, just shit. It is an amazement that, you know, the insurrection hasn't won and they haven't managed to overthrow this incompetent, corrupt imperial government that's spread too thin. Like too much butter.
No, not enough butter.
Butter over too much bread.
Probably just amazing. We'll come on to that.
Lovely analogy. And also the fact that Tiberius is like, maybe he's inviting me to dinner so he can kill me.
Better bring my ex-wife, who I want to die. Maybe she'll finally die. I reckon that's his whole plan, to bring her just so that she'll die. He's like specifically making her not bring a coat, because then she'll be like, oh, it's cold in here. What did you say? Adore this war.
Yeah, and like I like just imagining the dinner hall. Where it's like the expansive dinner hall stretched on as far as the eye can see.
That's far.
So basically, until the curvature of the earth starts obscuring the end of it. Well, of whatever planet this happens to be on.
Yeah, you don't know.
Might be Earth. Maybe it's tiny planet. You know, yeah, just like the head of the Church of the Golden Arches is on just like a tiny planet somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know, there's something about it being called a dinner hall which makes me laugh. Like, this hall is very specifically for dinner, not a dining. They don't dine in here, they have dinner here. Is there like a lunch hall as well?
Probably with this kind of like imperial decadence, yeah. You know, there'll be, you know, there's the breakfast hall, the brunch hall, the dinner hall, the orgy hall,
snack bar.
Halls for everything, and you can't see from one end to the other in any of them.
And also, that's a big table; it stretches just as far.
That's mad. How can that table exist?
And who shipped it there? I have a feeling I know who. That's why their ship is so long.
That explains it. How many people are actually on this table? Like, do the people on this table stretch as far as the eye can see?
You'd
as well?
So, or is it? Yeah, it says that all along, like both sides are lined, military on one side and sort of civilian and administration side of the empire. Not really sure what that means. Does that just mean like, just like
Just like the civil service and the heads of government and techies, everyone involved.
Right, so civilian side is not like just generic people.
Yeah, it's just, that's just anyone important in the Imperium that isn't in the military, I suppose.
Yeah.
Just everyone else.
So this huge dinner, and then he's so surprised to be invited. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right, actually.
It's not like an intimate sort of, one-off dinner with the Imperator.
Yeah, this seems to, I know they later say that they sort of, have millions of ships spread across this massive empire, but this still seems like a significant gathering of, all the most important people in the empire, if it's, even filling out half of that fucking table.
Well, they got important stuff to discuss.
Yeah. Yeah, just this sounds like the perfect time for the insurrection to try and pull some shit, because it seems like all of the everyone important in the Empire is all sitting around one table rather than actually manning the Empire and running things.
Yeah, but they'd have to get past those horny guards.
Yeah.
And the
Snow Trick and the Rape Squad.
No. I like how when Tiberius is finding his seat. He walks along the side, and then he finds that his nameplate is very close to the head of the table where the Imperator was quietly chatting with some of the military officials. I like how slow he is to realise that that the Imperator is right there. You know, a voice called from the table, Captain Tiberius Hunter. Tiberius quickly looked up to find it was the Imperator. I don't know, I just found it weird that he had, walked all the way down the table to sit next to the Imperator and then be like...
I didn't realise until he called his name.
Yeah.
this guy who I imagine, judging by just sort of the kind of, corrupt Empire aesthetics, probably has, there's pictures of him in the combat observatory station, you know. This guy is not sort of like a shrinking violet that's hiding his appearance. This is a guy who's, got more rings and chains on him than a fucking pimp.
Also, yeah, it says that Tiberius...
sipping from, a big golden chalice. Yeah.
Tiberius was surprised to find his nameplate and seat very close to the head of the table. So he knew that it was odd that he was sitting near the Imperator. And yet he didn't know he was sitting near the Imperator. I just found it odd. And also, going back to the description of him, this golden chalice and his fingers littered with huge golden rings with jewels almost the size of a baby's hand. That is fucking massive. how does he lift his hand?
Yeah, I don't know how he manages to manhandle his golden cutlery and flatware about with his hands so bejeweled.
Almost the size of a baby's hand.
That's
for a second.
And that's not just one ring. He's saying he's got a lot of rings like that. That sounds inconvenient.
Does your book have double apostrophe in babies?
No, actually. Single apostrophe. So that's another tick we can put next to added errors in the re-edit.
I don't understand how that's happened.
I know, it just boggles the mind, doesn't it?
That's got to be a control F, replace.
But how?
Yeah, I don't
what
know.
Would he be doing that would replace an apostrophe with two apostrophes? Why would he be doing that find and replace? I don't know. I don't understand.
Lewis, if you're listening, please let us know.
We need to know how this happened. But yeah, another thing, I wonder where, the entrance to this hall brought him in. How long was he walking along the table until he found his, seat? Because it's, at the head of the table, so he basically had to walk to one of the far ends of the table.
Yeah, you'd think with such a huge room and table, someone would, show him to his seat. Nameplates don't really serve a good purpose when there's, Just imagine when everyone came in, and they had to, like, how long did it take everyone to sit down and find their seat? Yeah, like, you were one side of the table and you realise you're the other side, but I've got to walk all
the way. How do you cross it? Do you think they have, like, a little bridge that goes over it at a few points?
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, I'm on the admin side, but I'm military. I'm going to have to walk to half an hour to do a round trip of the table.
That would be a fun game of musical chairs.
I think it would go on until the heat death of the universe, though. But, yeah, like I hope someone at least pointed him in, like, the right direction when he, like, entered. Just, like, you are on this side of the table, like, you know. Like, hopefully, like, military people are letting through one door and admin on the other. So they, like, at least start on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I hope they were like, you're in this direction, you know, you're half a mile due west, just keep walking until you find an empty seat.
This is a bit, like, off, sort of, a bit off topic, or sort of, but I'm not a fan of, like, these long tables. They're just not practical, right? Like,
yeah.
Surely it's much better to have lots of, sort of, small tables.
Yeah,
the Imperator can only be talking to, like, two or three people at a time.
He can talk to, like, at most, like, six people easily, like, and that'd be, like, yelling and, well, I suppose the Imperator doesn't have to yell, but, like, making two people lean back out of the way and talking to people, like, you know, a few metres away kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and Not very practical, I would agree. Yeah, I like how Tiberius's first kind of, like, inclination when sitting down and looking at this largesse is like, I could pocket some of these, like, golden yeah. knives and forks to make a bit of money on the side. And then dismissing the idea, just like, oh no, the Imperator's killed people for less. Yes, because you're like, you're like an important official in his fucking fleet. For and like, why would he put up with petty larceny?
And you've been like, the fact that he's been so like nervous about this visit. I love how as soon as he's there, like instantly turns into like, I could fuck this guy over.
Yeah, it's like I could make a bit of money and just like so. Also, like how shit is like the benefits of being in their sort of like space navy, like you know.
He's the only captain in the sector
of a sector,
and he wants to like pawn off golden like plates.
Yeah, and no, it's like and he thinks that that's better than. The not stay, you know, it's like he's thinking about how he's being honoured by being sat near the Imperator. There's like, oh no, actually, if I stole the things, then he might kill me. You know, that's the only reason as well. I was like, no, it's the only reason why that's a bad idea is that I probably get killed. Not that it's such a ridiculous, petty thing to do next to like the Emperor of the known universe, just stealing his knives and forks.
I just love the image of him like sitting down, just like after finishing eating, just like putting the plate like
just
under
just
his
like,
shirt.
Yeah, it's like just like sliding forks into his pockets.
I love his way of that he would have done it as well. He thought about putting a few knives and forks into his sleeves. I just like the idea of him leaving with, like, his arms in the air, like, trying to make them not fall out.
But then they'd fall through and come out of the bottom of his jacket.
Oh, no. Okay, you'd have to, like, put
he'd
them
out. He'd have to, like, be holding
them
out at his yeah. side. Yeah, he'd have to have his arm, like, his upper arms out perpendicular to his body, but his arms, like, sort of, like, pointing up his forearms.
Of course, he
up.
Could have come prepared.
Like
had,
a cactus.
Like, he could have had, like, elasticated wrist, you know, that, like, acted as a sort of stop.
Ah, his kleptomania soup jacket.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like how in this universe they still have cash as well. I don't know, it's just a small little thing.
Yeah, that's
bit of extra cash, and they got pawn shops. Some TVs in there.
Just yeah, stolen imperial place settings, you know. Just new things, leather chairs,
yeah.
all sorts. So yeah, that does seem weirdly anachronistic in like this. in this decadent failing space empire. Oh yeah, a bit of cash from the pawn shops.
He asks the
Imperator. A right geezer, Tiberius Hunter.
He asks
real
the
wheeler dealer.
That's a spin-off waiting to happen. The pawn shops of this universe. Like a sort of Only Fools and Horses in this universe. Yeah, so he asks the Imperator, you know, why has he got this invite? And I like how everyone turns to look at him. Just this, everyone on this massive table, like,
yeah, just
people
like
at the very end, like, craning their necks.
They're, like, standing up and looking through opera glasses, just like...
Somehow they heard him.
Yeah, it was so quiet in there, just... His voice, him quietly asking the Imperator a question, just, like, went through it like a bolt through the blue.
No one questioned the Imperator. He questioned you. He sure does.
Like, yeah, I like, again, that... So, is that... I'm not sure quite who's saying that. Like, is that Tiberius acknowledging that he knows how things are normally done, but he's just cutting through the crap? Is that, like, a... Sort of, like, a general narrator stating just like, oh, that they're all shocked because you don't ask questions to the Imperator, of the Imperator, which Tiberius clearly doesn't know. And again, it's weird that he's so out of touch with etiquette. See, it's like, no matter how many sectors there are, he's still, in the scheme of, like, the hierarchy of the Empire, still at least a moderately important person.
He must have at least once met the Imperator, I would have thought.
You know, or at least know the rough etiquette of how you're meant to deal with him. Like, you know, I think I could meet the Queen or like a president of somewhere and not make a fool of myself in front of them and not get it totally wrong.
Not want to instantly like steal a corgi or something.
Yeah, and you know, like, and it's not like he has a lot of people to learn. Like, you know, this is the most important person you're ever going to meet. It seems like the kind of thing that they'd sort of like drum into you at sort of like their versions of school and everything, and like officers' academies. Just like, on the off chance you ever meet the Imperator, do and don't do X, Y, and Z. But I guess not, or I guess Tiberius just doesn't give a fuck. He's trying to provoke the Imperator into getting him and Amelia killed. I also find it weird that they kind of... They paint... Like, the way the Imperator's painted seems a little different to how he seems to act when talking to Tiberius. Like, he doesn't come off as that super unreasonable for, like, a galaxy tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like when he's talking to him.
Someone who would apparently kill you if you said it was too hot or cold.
Yeah, he seems quite level-headed, like quite polite to Tiberius. He knows a lot about him considering his, you know, middle management-ish version of where he is in sort of like the galaxy hierarchy, at least as Tiberius seems to see it. Like I say, it feels like he should be more important than he thinks he is, but... That seems to kind of be Tiberius's view of where he is in the universe, at least up until he gets this commission here. But, yeah, the Imperator, in his interactions, you know, aside from the fact that he stops talking to eat some of his steak and he says, I just want everyone on the Tranquility killed, he seems relatively reasonable when sort of like talking to Tiberius about everything. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem like a complete arbitrary dick to his subjects, at least here, despite how he's been painted in the rest of the chapter up until this point. So, yeah, it's just odd. Like, it's odd that he seems so much... Like, it's not right to say he's nice, but he seems a lot nicer than we're given to expect him to be from how he's been described up until we actually talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like he called for Tiberius to sort of like prostrate himself before him and was annoyed that he didn't immediately do so. He like sort of like politely said to him as he was going to his seat, it's like, Captain Tiberius Hunter of Sector 58, nice to meet you. What an evil bastard!
And it's...
What a mad, arbitrary dictator!
Yeah, and he's built up to, as you said, he's built up to be so like, feared, and the fact that it's like no one questioned the Imperator, he questioned you, and then nothing comes of that. Nothing comes of that build-up of him being this, like, you know...
Yeah, he's like, you know, he doesn't act like someone used to having, like, the complete say of everything getting interrupted and, like, freaking out. He's just like, it's like, he just answers his question, like, with no comment at all. He just literally just does exactly answer. Has everyone else just, like, you know, gotten freakish ideas in their head about who the Imperator is?
Really, he's just a nice guy.
Yeah. Aside from, you know, a little bit gaudy with his massive chalice and baby hand-sized jewels, but, you know... Other than that, you know, everyone has their vices, but overall a nice guy. Yes, I don't know why he didn't get committed to being painted as the villain we were described just earlier, like immediately before he does things in the chapter. It's just an odd disconnect. Like, again, like, are these things like what Tiberius thinks, or like a universal narrator's statement of how things are? It's a little unclear. Because, like, if Tiberius knows you're not meant to ask questions of the Imperator, then why did he? Mm-hmm. If he did, seeing as we established earlier, he was at least mildly worried he was going to get killed going to this meal. So why would you interrupt a man who you admit has power over your life, like, for just going there? I don't know, it's just very odd characterization.
Mm-hmm.
What is a Larrakian steak? That's what I want to know.
I don't know, but it sounds great.
No quam pie, though.
No. This Jack, or this Tiberius, eats nothing but Larrakian steak.
Man, that's going to be what causes the big fight when they finally meet in person.
Yeah.
Quam pie! Larrakian steak! Quam pie!
Yeah, and essentially, the Imperator tells Tiberius about this, you know, the Tranquility, this battleship, as they're, you know...
So in awe of.
Yeah, and that basically he wants Tiberius to find it and kill everyone on it. Kill the crew.
That's his job. It's up to him to make it happen.
And I like how this is going back to this odd relationship between Tiberius and Aemilia. After he's told this, Aemilia leans in and plants a kiss on his cheek before whispering, "I told you so." Just, I don't understand their relationship.
It's very odd. The impression I get from this chapter is that she just likes fucking with him. That it's like entire, like, pretty much all of the affection seems to come from her side, just to fuck with him, and he wants her to die. But it is very odd, like, what, and like, it says Tiberius is shocked. I mean, I think, is he shocked about the kiss, or shocked about the fact that, like, his job that he's been given? I'm assuming the job, but sort of like the place, the way that things are placed, I'm a little unsure.
Why is he so shocked as well? He is a battle cruiser captain who presumably had to do some fighting in his time. Why is he suddenly like, oh no, I don't know how to do this?
Yeah, and this, like, as we point out, this happened in his sector. You know, it kind of makes sense that if he's going to sort of like delegate command to anyone, then it should be to someone who theoretically knows about the defence of that sector the best, which would be him.
Yeah, being the only captain.
Yeah, like, it's, you know, like, it's possibly shocking, like, the degree of resources that he allocated towards him to the end, like saying that he gave it, like, giving him a special forces unit and, like, a load of a big chunk of the fleet. But yeah, like, it's, shouldn't be that surprising that, you know, it was decided that it was his responsibility, but given the fact that this battleship's, like, so powerful, that the Imperator's given him extra resources to do it. Because surely, as long as he was making shit in Sector 58, it was Tiberius's job to hunt him down and sort him out anyway,
mm-hmm.
regardless of this. This is basically just extending it to just, like, also catch him if he leaves your sector. Now just catch him, but we think he's still in your sector, kind of thing.
Basically, do your job and protect our sector.
Yeah. Here's some more people so you can, to make sure you get the job actually done.
Yeah.
Off you go.
How have you not heard of this yet? Like,
why is this the first you've heard of it? What have you been doing?
Yeah, and Tiberius is planning his, I guess, how he's going to try and find them. Because he, I don't know, I don't really understand what this sentence says. It says, it could take cycles just to find it, the battleship, if it stayed in the same position all the time. Was it? So it's saying that if the battleship was stationary, it would take a long time to find it.
Yeah, I think he's trying to say that even if it wasn't moving around, it, like the area they were looking into was without any leads, was so big it could still take them years to find
yeah,
it. And that's like a best case scenario
also,
of it not moving.
There's a bit, that's a bit like, well, duh. What is his plan to just like just let's go this way and see if they're there?
I suppose to split up and look for clues, you know?
Split sort up? Like, he's the only battle cruiser captain in the sector.
Well, yeah, but he can, like, split up like it, the rest of the ships in his fleet to sort of, like, fan out and search for it.
Guess so.
He doesn't have to be everywhere.
Space is pretty big, though.
It is pretty big. That's his problem. But, you know, it's... You know,
I love how
still be a third of a massive amount if he split his fleet up into three to look.
I just love how his approach was to, like, open a map up and just, I don't know, look at it. Like,
start doodling on it.
He's definitely just like, here, just circling, like...
Just circling the known universe. puts like a dot where Deep Space Voyage Combat Observatory Station 58 was. He was here, and he could be here. Zooms out and circles the entire universe. Okay,
looks
time to
flustered.
Narrow it down. But Amelia, she isn't having any of that plan. She lets off a short chuckle.
A soft
and,
chuckle.
You know, a soft chuckle. And you know what that means it's time for? Chuckle vision. We have relayed to you the only chuckle of this chapter. One chuckle. That is, I repeat, one chuckle.
Important to know, a soft chuckle.
Yeah. You know, so, again, it's, you know, it's a relatively high-quality chuckle. It's not just a basic chuckle, but only one. But, you know, it makes sense, you know, we've had a... Up until this point, we've had a fairly grim time. Tiberius was super freaky out about meeting the Imperator. That was quite a formal surrounding, having dinner. So, but only now, where Amelia's got an ace up her sleeve, and that's bringing out the chuckle in her soul.
Yeah, she's got an ace up her sleeve, and he's got knives and forks up his sleeve.
Yeah, I think in this case, Amelia's is more valuable, no matter how many of those knives and forks he's pawning. But yeah, and that chuckle in her soul manifests in her leaning forward, taking the pad from Tiberius and throwing it across the room.
She really does just like fucking with him. You're right.
Yeah, she just enjoys trolling him. She knows that for some reason he can't, like, fire her or get her reassigned, and she's probably just because she's too good at her job and he needs her. So she just seems to enjoy making his life a fucking pain while still doing like everything she's actually asked to do.
I like his reaction as well. What do you think you were doing, woman? Woman is capitalized, yeah. He yelled at her and was about to strike her with the back of his hand when he said the words which made his heart skip. Just like instantly, like domestic violence.
I mean, I suppose we can argue that it isn't domestic, as you know.
Yeah.
I suppose you could argue that is disciplinary because she is literally his work subordinate, and we don't know where the Ilmarium fleet stands on corporal punishment.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably fine with it, given by what we already know about the administration and what we find out later. But yeah, regardless, still. A little hasty, but she was also intentionally fucking with him, so I don't know. Does kind of make sense.
Yeah, she had it coming, let's say that.
I wouldn't go that far. I think this might be just a case that broke Tiberius. That it sounds like he has to put up with this a lot.
And the words that did make his heart skip were, I know where they are. And I was thinking, actually, when it's quite mysterious. Like, she's just like, I know where they are. Is it ever revealed how she knows where they are? Because she just suddenly has the coordinates.
Yeah, we do actually find out how they know, and it's quite important to the next arc involving the main Tranquility crew.
Right.
So don't worry, that is actually a thing that does get
brought up and
resolved.
Like, I know where they are, and then like suddenly she has the coordinates. They just like
don't get me wrong. We've gotten so many things dropped that were just utterly dropped and were mentioned, were curious and are never mentioned again. But that one does actually play into the next part of the plot.
I like how she says that, leans back, stares out the plastiglass window as they begin to ascend out of the troposphere, stratosphere, mesosphere, and into the thermosphere. Soon they would enter the exosphere.
What is this atmospheric fucking lesson?
What is this?
I don't know why that was specified.
I think that
I actually checked it. I mean, he got the order right. That is like the various sort of like spheres of the atmosphere ascending.
He knew, the author knew the, like, or looked up these different atmosphere levels and was like, I'm getting this in the book. Like, this knowledge isn't going to waste.
And rather than just say that they ascended through the atmosphere to where the ships were hanging in orbit, no, all of the different layers, it's important you understood that they passed through each of them. They didn't fucking teleport from the troposphere to the mesosphere. Fuck no. They had to travel through the stratosphere like the rest of us.
I mean, also, I like the fact that there's no sort of... It doesn't go into any more depth than just listing the different spheres. Like, it could have... You know, it could have been like, oh, now it's going through the stratosphere where the ship, you know, experiences blah, 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 blah. You know?
Yeah.
Nope, just a list of...
Yeah, like, no reason why... That they are getting listed. I don't see how you're getting any extra information than just saying they rise through the atmosphere. Like, because, like, I don't know, until I looked them up, I didn't know what any of those spheres of the atmosphere were.
Yeah, I'd heard of stratosphere.
Like, you know, I assumed that they were, like, parts of the atmosphere, and that was the ascending order, because... You know, I wouldn't put it past him, but I assume that he didn't fuck up and get them in the wrong order. But I'm just like, but I don't know what makes each of these spheres special, aside from, or how big any of them are relative to each other. I don't know anything about them, and it hasn't been explained why they're special.
I mean, I know nothing about them as well. Like, this is probably a really dumb question, but I'm guessing these are like mimicking Earth. Like, do all planets have the same atmosphere? Surely not, right?
I don't know enough about atmospherics to say. I would assume... I think it's safe to say any planet that's capable of, like, sustaining life like Earth would probably have all of those spheres in it. Basically, something that could hold in sort of, like, oxygen, stuff like that.
I like how it says they would enter the exosphere, where the ships hung in orbit like cathedrals and buildings. Like cathedrals and other buildings. Like,
yeah, just and the rest of the buildings.
Is a cathedral not a building?
A cathedral is definitely a building.
But he felt like he needed to specifically say cathedrals and buildings. So that's like leisure centres,
swimming pools,
municipal car parks.
It's like just generic tower blocks.
Yeah. Library.
Other religious buildings.
Yeah.
Mosques. Synagogues. Yeah. Mosques.
All of them.
The whole gulmut. With that, we got to learn a little bit about this alternate universe's sort of like structure, because some of those ships were ornate with gold and silver, being the ships of the Ilmarian emissaries, the holy men of the Ilmarian Empire, spreading the religion to all corners of the galaxy and beyond. Like, is there a specific religion, or is, like, the Ilmarian Empire somehow in itself also its own religion?
Yeah, I think the Ilmarian Empire has its own religion, by the sounds of it. Spreading the religion of the Ilmarian Empire. I'm not sure when something becomes a religion, you know, and is not just like a sort of set of, like, practices. I don't know, I'm not sure when it becomes a religion.
These holy men in their aprons and hairnets, spreading happy meals. Their golden arched ships. God, I hope that's what's happening. I hope that's like an important plot point in the second book.
Go in peace, my son, and do you want fries with that?
Would you like to supersize that prayer, my child? The great Ronald of MacDonald, who got diabetes for our sins.
Our Father who art loving it.
God, I want to make a sort of like the Ronald's prayer.
Yes. Yes.
And forgive those that hamburgle against us.
I think I know what you're doing tonight.
Possibly. This just like a transcript of this might just be like the image for this one on the YouTube video. It's amazing. Yeah, and I like, and there are other ships in orbit too, ones that don't look like cathedrals or buildings.
They look like ships.
Madness.
Yeah, and this is where we get the description of the millions of ships of which make up the Ilmarian Defence Fleet, but they're stretched across the Empire like butter over too much bread. Absolutely amazing analogy for being spread too thin. That took me a while to actually realise what he had said. Like, like butter over too much bread.
Mm.
What? I don't understand. I didn't understand what was going on.
So what he's implying is that the fleet is sufficient, but the Empire's too big.
Yeah. The Empire being nothing wrong. The bread.
It's not the fact that you have too little butter, it's that they have too much bread.
Yeah, that's what got me. It's like weird. It's not like, spread too thin. Like,
yeah, it's like saying that the Empire's the problem, not the fleet size. Which I mean, I guess you could argue, but it's still like a.
I think you have weirdly... less control over the Empire than you do of like your fleet size. But yeah, it's just odd.
Yeah, it's an odd way to frame the problem.
But I love it.
It is fantastic.
And so I guess that this is his ship, the Turmoil?
Versus Captain Jack's Tranquility.
Ah.
It's like poetry, rhymes, pottery.
I'm not sure if your book has this, where it says the Ilmarian Defence Fleet, and it refers to it as the IDF, and then it says the IDF-S Turmoil. What does that mean? Ship? Like, is it meant to be like HMS?
Yeah, I can only assume it's meant to stand for ship, because, yeah, there's nothing else to indicate what it is, and that fits the kind of, like, nautical bent that he likes to go for.
And what is high anchor? Speaking about nautical terms. I'm guessing, we learn that the Turmoil... being their ship is at the front of the fleet, so I'm guessing at high anchor means...
Yeah,
no, isn't high anchor like it's moving, right?
I would have thought that meant that it was, yeah, it had like lifted its anchor up and it was ready to leave.
From space.
Yeah.
Space anchor. Wait, wasn't that earlier in the book? Am I remembering incorrectly that they have some sort of anchor? I think I am.
Yeah, like, they got attached to the deep space station, like, by something attaching it. I guess you could call that it was anchored to it, I suppose. It would be accurate to say, but it was not using I guess you could say it was sort of like some sort of like anchoring aperture that it was attached to. Again, a slightly odd way to put it.
I'm looking it up now, high anchor, and I don't think this is it. This is talking about something to do with archery. Apparently,
that's curious.
We generally start students 3 fingers under and at high anchor. I don't think this is it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what high anchor. I'm not sure what high anchor is supposed to be like, because I also don't think that is like a nautical term to mean that you've got your anchor like on board and not anchoring you either. So I know I get. So I can only assume that you're right, and it does mean that they are anchored and they are at the highest anchoring point available to the fleet.
It must be important because it's capitalised for some reason.
Yeah. High anchor. Yeah, I like the parallels drawn closer with sort of like how Jack was sort of like wistfully talking about the tranquility, just like this, like, oh, you know, it's battered, but we love it. And basically the same thing for the turmoil here. It's like she wasn't much, despite being literally the most impressive ship in the sector that it's normally in charge of.
You know, so... Yeah. You know what, though? There's one thing that they have in common, and that's their leather chairs.
Oh, yeah.
That's the constant in all the universes. The creaky leather chair.
Every ship has a leather chair. Yeah, I love that that's still the case. Huge leather captain's chair. So it says they're heading to the bowels of the ship. Does that mean their bridge is still on the top? Or is it somewhere in the middle, like a sensible place would be? I mean, I'm pretty sure it's going to turn out it's still on the top. But it seems weird to describe they're sort of like going into the bowels of the ship, which implies the middle. And then we go to the top of the ship. Top of everything. Perfect placement. Such a view through the plastiglass. Oh no, slight danger. Put down shutters over the plastiglass. Never going to let that go.
Yeah, and I'm actually just thinking about this high anchor thing again, because it's revealed that they're still in the Imperialist Basilica, or at least, you know, in like a sort of station. Because they're, you know, the docking bay doors open and like a gap-toothed jaw, which I liked the description. And crews are apparently running to refuel it now. Like, we're going to leave. Oh, shit, we've got to refuel it. Like, they didn't do that at any other time. Now's the time to do it when they're leaving.
Yeah, when they're actually, you know, on the clock, they're busy. They've got work now.
So that just makes me think, what actually is high anchor in this situation? Because they're docked. Have they put down an anchor, like, inside a station? I don't understand. I sort of understand if it meant, like, they were now flying or something, or...
I mean, maybe this is sort of like a... They've got sort of like a space station floating around the Basilica's planet, where that all of the ships are docked at, because... Mm-hmm. These things are too big to land on the planet, so they have to sort of like hook up on there, and then they get shuttled down and back, like Tiberius and Amelia are being.
We need more details, Lewis.
Yeah, you need to understand what high anchor is.
Fill in these gaps.
Like, this is like moving way off topic, but is something that I just remembered. When the Imperator was giving Tiberius his instructions. Like, he said that he thinks 4 ships were destroyed by the Tranquility. Now, because of who's writing this, I don't know whether that's, like, a realistic bit of misinformation or an outright mistake. I just don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of what is, like, you know, genuine...
Like,
you know,
Like in it, like in almost any other book, I'd give them the benefit of the doubt that, you know, that's intentional. Like this is like a disengaged emperor, and this news has travelled halfway across the galaxy, and the number got inflated from 3 ships to 4, just to sort of like add a bit of, you know, it's like, oh, not everything's quite as it seems and as everyone says, kind of thing. But because it's Lewis, I'm like, did he just get that wrong, or was that intentional? I really don't know how to feel about it.
Yeah. I like how when they, you know, when they're finally, when all the checks are done and they're finally about to head off, Tiberius presses the communications button for the fleet and says one word, commence. Like, now that's a tightly run fleet, that all he needs to do is say one word and they, you know.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, at the very least, the dude knows how to delegate. Like, you know,
I just like to think
he passed Amelia good enough orders that she managed to get everyone like so well up to date. They knew exactly what they were doing when Tiberius said commence.
I just like to think that like there's one person in some ship who just didn't hear it. They're like, commence. Like, what? What does he say? Oh shit!
What
we're
am
going?
I commencing? I'm just gonna follow these guys.
Yeah.
Shit. That's probably it. They probably had no idea what he meant, but they were just like, shit, he's leaving. I think we're meant to follow him. What does he mean by commence? Just, fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck it, that guy started moving. Let's go as well.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how the chapter ends. They set off with the turmoil at the head of the spear.
Yeah, piercing the darkness of the universe, hoping to spear themselves a tranquility.
Nice.
I should write my own book. I think I have one more comment. So basically, the Ulmarian defense fleet, what I don't quite understand, was Hollister... Oh, Hollister. Oh, if only this chapter.
You just got him on your mind.
I can't stop thinking about it. It's been too long without reading about Hollister's exploits. But no, so if... Is... Like, how many ships did Tiberius normally have command of? Does he, like... always have like a section of the Ulmarian defense fleet under his command that sort of like rolled in here with him as well? I know that the Imperator told him, I'll be assigning a special forces unit to you as well. This will be under your command, but they're tasked by me to personally capture the ship. Which, also think about it, I think we should keep that in mind, because without spoiling anything, I'd say that Tiberius plays a little fast and loose with some of his commands later on in the book. So I wonder what happened to that special forces unit that basically only have to take his orders on advisory, really, when it comes down to capturing the tranquility. But whatever's not the point I was trying to make. So that sounds distinct to just the Ulmarian defense fleet. You know, that sounds like... Again, I'm not sure about the scope of it, but like a couple of like highly elite sort of like, I don't know, battle cruisers or whatever ships. Not like, yeah. This sounds sort of like a big sort of like ragtag Imperial flotilla that he's at the head of. Like I can't decide whether he's supposed to have control over a lot of ships normally anyway, or if this is all shit that the Imperator gave to him to do his job. Because again, like, if he's basically in control of defending the sector anyway, then he should have some ships under him, at least.
From what I can tell, he doesn't have anything, because when the Imperator is, you know, giving him orders, it says, I have a fleet en route and I want you to lead it. You're an experienced officer, so... And then there's also the Special Forces unit. So it sounds like he has nothing, really, and the Imperator is giving him this fleet. But yeah, as you said, he must have some experience with leading a fleet, because... And also, he's just been given this fleet, and yet they all know that, like, commence is is the go word.
Like I say... I think we're right. Amelia is just his Hollister. She gets shit done. He told her to like send out his orders, and goddamn it, if everyone didn't know what to do by the time he said commence.
I bet his communication button isn't connected to anything. And like, she just does all the commands.
Yeah.
He thinks he's doing it.
And she just presses a button of her own, which tells everyone to get started.
It works to her. Like, she can hear him. So he goes, commence! And she's like, oh, okay. Like, sighs and, like, actually gives the orders
like,
to go.
Oh, Tiberius, you overdramatic fool.
And then they all start moving, and he's like, yeah, see, it worked. Commence. That's all you need to say.
Ali, all of these people with their stupid micromanagement.
I'm looking forward to the next chapter, actually. I'm looking forward to seeing, well, A, getting back to our... I assume we'll be seeing a bit more of our old crew.
Yeah, we're back to the people we know and love.
Yeah.
Definitely know.
Yeah.
Next chapter. But don't worry, Tiberius and Aemilia will be back. They have quite a role to play in the unfolding events.
And we're a third of the way through now.
Yeah, like officially now. I mean, like, not in actual volume, because so many of these chapters were so short.
Like, yeah.
I don't know, like, trying to guesstimate this, like, I don't know, on my book, it still only looks like a quarter, maybe?
Yeah, I was going to say about
a
quarter.
Of the book. So, yeah, we're going to have some monstrous chapters later on, at least comparatively.
Yeah.
I mean, like, all these chapters have all been tiny anyway, so... A monstrous chapter will probably still be a small chapter compared to a normal book, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I mean, I'm done if you are, Louis.
Yep.
Cool. So get hype, everyone. Next week we're going to be back on the Tranquility with our old chums Jack, Toner, and Hollister. Where? Yeah.
see ya.
See ya. Ah, Ronald, who art loving it, supersized be your name. Your order comes, your burger well done, when eating in as in the drive-thru. Give us today our breakfast menu. Forgive us our hamburgles, as we forgive those who hamburgle against us. Lead us not into the devils of salad, but deliver us from the burger tyrant and the chicken baron. For the drinks machine, the fryer, and the McFlurry are yours, now and forever. I would like fries with that.